Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Chris Higgins. And Chris right now is a county legislator, and he is planning on running for the Albany Common Council president. Let me ask you this for the first question. You're in the county legislature. You've been there for a while. Why would you want to give up a seat that's almost like given to run for Common Council president?
Well, Cynthia, the council presidency, as you well pointed out, is a different office. It's a citywide office here in Albany. Our city has a population that's approaching 100,000 now. And I want to have the opportunity to really help this city out on a citywide basis with a lot of the issues that residents every day face here. And I think I can have a real positive impact in that respect here in Albany.
What propelled you to get into this race?
Well, as you know, there is a vacancy here. This is an opening. The incumbent, Carolyn McLaughlin, is running for mayor. And so we have an opening here, and I see it as a real opportunity to step up to the next level, so to speak, with my public service here in Albany. And I think I have a lot to offer the citizens in the city of Albany. And hopefully as the months progress, as the campaign unfolds, folks will start to see a lot of my vision that we'll be rolling out, my ideas on how we can make this city a better place to, you know, live, work, and raise a family. And certainly I'm hopeful that they're going to look at my proven track record of accomplishment in the county legislature. I've had the opportunity now over the past 10 years to really sponsor a lot of legislation, write a lot of legislation that I think is a very positive impact on the everyday lives of people here in Albany. I'm very proud of that work, and I'm hopeful people will look at that and say, this is the kind of guy we want working for us here in the city.
I remember the night of the trash tax vote. You were one of the people that were there, and towards the end of the meeting, you articulated the fact that you wanted, at that point, to run for Common Council president. Was that one of the important issues that got you into the race?
It's obviously one factor, but the reason why I'm running is because I want to build 10-plus years of public service and take my record of accomplishments and success really to the next level. I have a lot of great ideas here in the city of Albany. One of those issues is how we can tackle our solid waste management. It's a major issue we have here in the city. It's not going away. As you noted, the city did impose a trash tax or fee, depending on who you ask, that affects only a certain demographic of homeowners and renters here in the city of Albany, as opposed to everybody. And that's an issue that I think we need to revisit. I think it's an issue that was rushed through. And as a result, what we got is a flawed policy that I think we need to really look at and change. And we're going to do that through building consensus and talking to other members of the city council, stakeholders, and citizens who actually live in these neighborhoods who are directly affected by this trash fee and solid waste management in general. You know, the reality of the situation is the city of Albany's landfill is going to be closing. This is a fact. And we need to move away from our current policies pertaining to solid waste and maybe move to a pay-as-you-throw system or something else. But, you know, we really need to aggressively review the issue, because it's an issue that's not going to go away. It's certainly going to be one of the major drivers as far as cost containment is concerned through the city's budget.
There's two issues that have been in the news lately. Sanctuary City and Rezone Albany. Let's start with Sanctuary City. How do you feel about that?
Sure. Obviously, I have some concerns about some of the policies coming down from the federal level of government when it pertains to finding people who might not be here legally. We're uprooting longstanding citizens or members of our communities strictly because of a technical snafu with their immigration status, for example. I have major concerns about that, and certainly I think that's something that's going to need to be addressed. You know, the whole idea of the sanctuary cities, you know, what is a sanctuary city, how you become a sanctuary city, and what that entails is certainly something that, you know, we'll have to look at moving forward.
Now, what about the loss of federal funding? How do you feel about that?
Well, we in the city of Albany should be in the business of trying to tap into as much federal funding as we can, state funding. You know, I personally have been a big proponent of the Albany County Land Bank. It's one of my signature achievements, working to get the County Land Bank passed. We've been very successful in taking county taxpayer dollars, investing them into the land bank to fight blight and urban decay, rehabilitate our housing stock. And as a result of that, we've been able to draw down over $4 million of funding through the foreclosure settlements that the state attorney general, Eric Schneiderman, has gotten from banks like Morgan Stanley. So my point here is that we need to be in the business of taking ways to strategically leverage city taxpayer dollars to draw down on federal monies and state money in every opportunity that we can.
So do you feel that the land bank has been successful?
Yeah, I think the jury is still out on the land bank, but I think you're already seeing real results in the city of Albany. You know, one of the issues I'll be raising as the campaign unfolds is the issues we have in our neighborhoods with blight and urban decay and vacant buildings. Mm-hmm. I have in the past referred to this as public enemy number one. I believe that when one neighborhood is struggling with issues around vacant buildings and blight, that it affects other neighborhoods. It takes, it affects public safety in those neighborhoods. It affects tax dollars and assessable property value in other neighborhoods. You know, we need to really take a strong look at this issue. The land bank is one tool in the toolbox that we can refer to and use to help get these buildings into the right hands for people to renovate and eventually live in. And so, yes, I think we're off to a strong start with the land bank, but everything takes time, and this is certainly something that will take some time.
And did you read Chris Churchill's editorial this morning on rezone opening?
I have not had an opportunity to review that article about rezone,
okay,
but I've been following that issue very closely. It's certainly
okay,
been a hot topic in my little legislative district here in the city of Albany, in Lark Street, Center Square, pertaining to the
mm-hmm.
hours for closure for bars and restaurants. I know that issue was somewhat addressed. You know, the rezone, my understanding is it was attempted to vote on it on Monday, but it's been delayed. So certainly I think having continued discussions on the issue is not necessarily a bad thing.
So you would be in favor of tabling it? It's only going to be tabled for 2 weeks as of Monday, so another week and a half. What timetable do you see it being tabled until everybody fully understands the issue?
Yeah, I don't understand. You know, we've been discussing the rezone initiative for the last several years. I think a lot of hard work has gone into it, a lot of input from the staff, from consultants, from residents throughout the city. I think we need to do a better job of educating the public about what's in the plan, how it's going to affect their neighborhoods. And, you know, if that takes a few extra weeks, I'm okay with that.
Do you think the news media has done a good job of explaining rezone?
Yeah, it's a complicated subject, rezoning in the city. You know, we haven't had a comprehensive rezone in, and it's certainly something that
right.
you will hear a lot of companies and developers talk about as far as stifling business is concerned, so in development. So it's something, obviously, that needs to be reviewed. I think the media is doing the best job that they can, trying to distill down what is an incredibly difficult topic for people. But we should be doing this neighborhood by neighborhood through monthly association meetings and through the work that the local city council members do in their own districts.
And has that been done?
It's tough to say. I'm just now getting an opportunity to really get out into some of the different neighborhoods in the city outside of my legislative district where I tend to focus most of my time. And so I think the jury's still out there. I don't think I can really answer that question intelligently at this point.
Okay. So what other issues do you feel are important as County Council President?
Sure. I see the position as an excellent way to drive policy at the citywide level throughout the entire city. One of the other issues we're going to be focusing on is trying to cut red tape wherever we can, how that affects individual homeowners, landlords, and small business people in the city of Albany. We really need to show the region and the folks that do business in the capital region that Albany is open for business. I've heard from many, many business people who lament and complain about the hoops they have to jump through to get the simplest of permits fulfilled or start a project. Projects that cost money, generate sales tax revenue, and create jobs. And so we really, really need to find ways to make the city easier to do business in. And we have some ideas on that that we'll be rolling out in the future.
So for our listening audience, what would you say, why is it in the voters' best interest to consider you as County Council President?
Well, I have a proven track record of accomplishment that I've demonstrated year over year through my work in the Albany County Legislature. I've proven to be an independent and relentless voice for residents and taxpayers in my work there. And I would tell folks that I bring to the table results, not simply rhetoric. When I talk about an issue, I like to see that issue to completion. And, I don't have to point much further than my work to start the land bank, to my work to ban styrofoam containers in chain restaurants, to my work to ban texting while driving before it became a state law, to the gun buyback program we had operating very successfully for several years. When I take issues on, I see them to completion and I get results. And that's what we should be in the business of doing, getting results for the taxpayers in the city of Albany. And I've done that, and I would ask folks to look at that record and send me into the city council so I can really hit the ground running on day one.
Albany is the capital of New York State. And when people think of New York, they think of New York City, of course, and that's on par with Paris and London and other really exciting cities. And we're the capital. We're the capital of New York City. And Albany is not vibrant. What would you do to increase vibrancy and make this a real lively city?
Well, that is an excellent question, Cynthia, and I have a very good answer. When I talk to folks, I'm 37 years old. I've lived in the city since I was 18 when I came here to go to college. When I talk to folks my age, younger, trying to live here, make a living here, start a family here, I have friends, a lot of them, who are moving away to the suburbs and the other cities like Troy and Saratoga. When I talk to them, they tell me, we are losing the innovation race to these other cities when it comes to projects and development and things that millennials want to see in their communities. And I think we need to, this is something I want to look very seriously into, start a task force to go into Troy and Schenectady and Saratoga and talk to their business leaders, talk to their bids, talk to their administrations in those cities and find out what they are doing that is working. Because you hear a lot in the media about how Troy is on the rise, Schenectady is on the way up. And I want those news stories to be focused on what we're doing here in Albany to enhance the quality of life and keep these businesses and these creative companies working right here in our city boundaries. So it's a good question and certainly something I take seriously that I want to focus on. And we're going to start that conversation by going into these other areas and talking to these folks face-to-face to see what they're doing that's working, what isn't working, and bring those ideas here to Albany to implement.
So, Chris, you said that you're kind of pressed for time. So if anybody wants to get involved in your campaign, whether they become a volunteer or want to contribute some money? How could they do so?
Sure. So we have a great website that's up and running. You can visit us on the web at www.votehiggins.com. That's vote, HIGGINS.com. You can find out information about my biography, the issues I care about, the platform I'm running on, as well as sign up to volunteer and contribute time and money, which certainly we're going to need to run a competitive election here in the city.
Chris,
and
thank
also,
you so much.
Follow me on,
yes.
You can follow me on Twitter under the handle at CT Higgins, and we also have a Facebook page, Higgins for Albany, where you can find out some of the great things we're doing on a day-to-day basis in the campaign.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. You've been listening to Chris Higgins, and he's running for Cameron Council President. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, Cynthia. Always a pleasure.
Have a great day.
You too. Take care now.